Tonight's reading comes from the book of Matthew, second chapter, first 12 verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word so that we may hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we would be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I am stretching the Christmas season out one extra day. Yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas, Epiphany, so the tree's down, the Advent wreath's gone, we should be done, but I absolutely love Epiphany, so if you will indulge me, we're going to talk about the Magi tonight. The story of the Magi is one of the stories of the Nativity that has just grown with tradition. We talked a lot about that with kind of walking through the tradition of the Nativity, this Advent, into the very heart of what it meant for God to take on flesh and dwell among us. We don't know a whole lot about the Magi because they're only mentioned here in Matthew's gospel, but somehow through tradition, probably because they carried three gifts, we've begun to think that there were three wise men. We really have no idea. The scripture's not clear about that. It says Magi. They brought three gifts. There's more than one. It could have been two. It could have been 20. We don't know. 20 would probably make the nativity scene a little crowded, I think. Paul would be forever getting the wise men if he had to get 20 of them for his outside nativity. But we don't know how many there were. We know that they brought three gifts. They also didn't appear at the manger, even though, again, it's part of our tradition, and we love to have the wise men there. When they come to see Herod and he finds out the date, it's been probably almost 2 years. And when they approach where the star still is, if you will, they find the child with his mother Mary in a house, and they enter there to worship him. So they probably started out on this journey when they first saw this star. We're assuming the night that Jesus was born, and they followed it, and they traveled over however many miles, we don't know, to find out who this king of the Jews were that the star foretold them. The name Epiphany, the word Epiphany, actually means appearing or manifestation, if you will. It also sort of is defined as one of those aha moments when all of a sudden you understand what's going on. You have an epiphany. And that's sort of what we celebrate here, that the wise men came to see this manifestation of God's power and glory incarnate in the baby Jesus. And they realized who he was, King of the Jews, and they offered him their gifts. I love epiphanies. I love manifestations, if you will, of God's glory. I love those aha moments when all of a sudden we get it. We get what God was trying to say or trying to do or the way he's loving us. And it's aha. It's a beautiful moment. And the wise men got to have one of those moments when they saw what the stars had promised them. I love that they saw the star. You know, the Magi were most likely sort of priests, if you will. The line sort of started, they think, with the Medes coming out of the Persian Empire, and they were priests, they were magicians. They were, as the name Magi describes, that's how we get our word magician and magic. They were dream interpreters. They were soothsayers, if you will. They were involved in all sorts of things, a kind of a combination of astronomy and astrology, what we would call astrology today, looking at the stars and the heavens to know what was going on. And yet they came to understand what the stars were telling them about this Jesus, this King of the Jews. And I love that. You know, the psalmist tells us that the heavens are declaring, the heavens are telling the glory of God. That God's glory is made manifest even in the stars, even in the galaxies. God declares his story. He tells a story. He reveals his majesty. And so I love that, that he used something these men were doing. They were studying the stars. Use that to get them to the place where they would meet Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's one of the things that I love about this story, because once again, we see God's tendency to reach outside and invite people in. These Persian, probably magicians, if you will, are invited in to the gospel. They're invited in to see the story of God's love. And I think one of the things that I love most about Epiphany is it reveals to us this little tiny glimmer, this picture, if you will, of what God's heart looks like. How God is always pursuing, God is always reaching out, God is always calling, and often people that we don't think he would care to call. Just a reminder to us, you know, God took one man, Abraham, and he made him a nation, one nation set apart for God, Israel. Not so God could just have one nation, but so that this one man and this one nation would be a blessing to all nations, so that all nations could be grafted in to the olive tree of God's children, that all the outsiders could be brought in. It's part of the wonder of the gospel that outsiders become insiders. Outcasts become honored guests. And the very people that we think have no place there wind up with a place of honor. And we get that glimpse of God's heart when we look at these Magi. We also get a glimpse of the way God works, which is really mind-blowing when we get a glimpse of it. Back in the book of Daniel, when Daniel was taken out of Jerusalem into captivity in Babylon, and he became part of Nebuchadnezzar's court and then later Darius's court as well, he was called to interpret a dream when none of the other magi, if you will, could interpret it for King Nebuchadnezzar, and he did. And he was highly honored, and Darius highly honored him. And Daniel was a man who had his own dreams and visions and had a lot to say about the coming Messiah. Daniel was actually made at one point the leader, one of the leaders of this group of magi, who our magi from the Nativity probably have descended from, these priests, these magicians, if you will, these soothsayers. And because Daniel had favor with God and could interpret dreams, he was made one of them. And it makes you think, if these men, their ancestors, 600 years before this, had been under Daniel and had heard Daniel talk about this Jewish Messiah, had heard Daniel talk about God's plan to save his people, how that might have influenced what they thought. And that 600 years later, when their descendants saw stars that predicted the king of the Jews, it must have sparked in them something. They had heard the promise of a Messiah. They had heard it down through the centuries. Once again, years, hundreds of years ahead of time, God is planting seeds that these magi will come and that they will see see the baby Jesus. They will see God incarnate and they will bow down and worship. And they bring these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, that whether they meant them or not, that defined for us who Jesus was: gold for the king, incense for the God, and myrrh for the sacrifice. But the other thing that I see in this story, in God's providence and God's attention to detail, is the fact that right after this happened, the angel warns Joseph in a dream that it's time to leave, to take Jesus and Mary and to go, because Herod has issued the decree. We talked about this a few weeks ago in Advent, what we call the slaughter of the innocents. And how unbelievable that right before that happened, they were given these very costly gifts, which probably provided the money they needed to travel to Egypt. Again, when we look at those things, we're just blown away by God's love for his people, by God's attention to detail. How God can take people who seem outside his reach and call them in to himself. And I think that's a message that we desperately need to hear today, because we are really quick to write people off and write off whole groups of people. And when we do that, I think we miss God's heart that is ever calling, ever loving, ever pursuing, ever longing for his children to know him, to come home, to be forgiven, to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've read multiple stories lately, and whether you believe in the miraculous or you don't, you know, that may or may not be, but I do believe in the miraculous, and I believe that God is a God of miracles. And I've heard an unbelievable number of stories lately about Muslim people in Muslim countries who have had dreams or have had visions of Jesus coming to them, and it has brought them to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that God's heart is for his Muslim children, that he is reaching out to show them the light and the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And how like God, if there's no other way, there's no way for Christian missionaries to get into some of these places, that God would appear to people in dreams, that he would appear to people in visions. Because that's God's heart. He longs for people to come to know him and to love him. And if we want to have a heart like God, we need to have that same desire to see people come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. To have people realize that God loves them, that he is for them, that he longs to be a part of their life, that he longs to be in relationship with them. And I think if we let God give us that glimpse of his heart, it'll change the way we pray. It'll change the way we look at the people around us. Because we see with the Magi that people who are seeking truth, I believe, ultimately find the truth, who is Jesus Christ, who reminds us that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And when we let God press that into our hearts, to press it into our spirits, then I believe that's going to drive us to be more of a people of prayer. People who intercede, not only for the people in our lives that we know who don't know Jesus, but maybe whole people groups who don't know Jesus. And we have multiple examples from Scripture how God has moved in powerful ways through the intercession of his children for other people. What would the world look like if we were serious about praying that people's hearts would be soft? What would the world look like if we were seriously praying that God would bring his children home? What would our lives look like if we made ourselves available to what God might want to do in big ways and small ways through us? What if God is longing to preach his gospel, to tell his story, to sing his song through our lives? That doesn't mean we have to go run out and buy a whole bunch of tracts and start standing on street corners. But it means that we need to have this sensitivity to the Spirit. We need to have a bit of God's heart that longs to see people redeemed and longs to be a part of it. And we start praying that God will put people in our paths that we can, again, in big ways and small ways, share his love, love with his love. It might not be that every other day somebody's coming to pray the salvation prayer with you, but you might be planting seeds in someone's life, showing them through your life, through your relationship with God, what it is that God looks like. We have so many crazy ideas of who God is. The world has even more crazy ideas of who God is. And what we need to see, what we need to show, what we need to live, we need to let God live through us, is this God, this Father who loves his children, this Father who is always redeeming and transforming and forgiving and rescuing and washing clean. This God who, for no reason of anything that we've done, has invited us to be part of his family, has washed us clean, has brought us into relationship with him, that we can stand in this room together in his presence and worship him. And the same God longs for my children, for your children, for our grandchildren, for our neighbors, for the people in the next town, for the people in the next country, for the people all over the world to know about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's my prayer this year that we will be available for what God might want to do through us. You never know a person that you pray for, that you tell them that you're praying for, that you encourage, that you tell them that God loves them. When somebody's struggling, that you sit and listen to them. When you have a kind word for somebody who's an outcast. When you give food to somebody who's hungry. When you visit somebody who's sick. You never know, we never know how God can use that for his glory. But we know that he can use all things for his glory. And so my prayer for all of us tonight is looking at the way God reached out, probably used Daniel years before, and brought these outsiders to be insiders. How he even warned them in a dream, the very way that they were used to communicating, how he even warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. How he welcomed them in. It's my prayer that this story will encourage us, will inspire us to make ourselves available to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be redemption storytellers, to be lovers of the unlovable, to reach out to people who are lost, that we might see God do a mighty redeeming work. We need to be led by the Spirit for that. We can't go barging in with our own agenda. So we need God's Spirit to soften our hearts and to lead us to the people that whose hearts he is also softening, that we might be used by God in a mighty way to build his kingdom, to show the world what it is that God's heart looks like, a heart of love, a heart of sacrifice, a heart of passion, a heart of grace and mercy. The other lesson that I always think about when I read the story of the Magi, more than a couple years ago, it was a really big saying, I used to get it on a Christmas coffee mug, wise men still seek him. That there's something in the seeking. I don't know why these Magi saw the star and said, wow, let's travel 2 years till we get to where we're going. a whole lot of us probably would have stopped about halfway through when there wasn't a McDonald's, you know? But they kept going because somehow they knew there was something valuable at the end of their journey, so they kept searching until they found the star, until they got to the place where the King of the Jews was, that they could worship him. You know, and we start the new year, and we want to have these fabulous relationships with God. And I'm going to tell you right now, that does not happen by default. You do not stumble into a deep, intimate, personal, powerful, interactive relationship with God. God is always there, ready for us. But there's something about our seeking. There's something about our running after him. There's something about our wanting to spend time with him. There's something about our wanting to know him better. There's something about our inviting him into our lives that we see amazing things happen. You know, if I treat my marriage like I'm going to have a good marriage by default, and I don't spend time with Tom doing things with him and talking with him and inviting him into the deep places of my heart and my life, we're going to have a really surfacey marriage. And I believe the same thing is true of our relationship with God. If we're not going to invite him in, if we're not going to share the deep places of our heart, if we're not going to listen for what he wants to say, if we're not going to invite him into our days, if we're not going to share our lives with him, we are not going to reap all the benefits that he has for us. It's not a do more and try harder. It's not if you work really hard on your Bible reading plan this year, it's going to make it. It's a heart thing. It's a seeking thing. It's a wanting more thing. It's knowing that somehow in this relationship with God, there is something so valuable that as we get closer and closer to it, as we get deeper and deeper into it, we find that every other thing in our life fades. There is nothing as fulfilling, as satisfying, as wonderful, as glorious as being in communion with God. There's nothing more wonderful than hearing his voice, hearing him speak through his scriptures, hearing him speak through our prayers, seeing him moving in the ordinary moments of our lives. Jesus told the story of a pearl of great price, that a man found it and he buried it back in a field and he sold everything that he had because he knew how valuable that pearl was. I believe the Magi somehow knew how valuable that message of the stars were, that they were willing to leave everything behind them and travel 2 years to find it. I believe God is inviting us this year into a deeper, more personal, more intimate relationship with him. He's inviting us to a place where we can rest in his presence, where we can be still and know that he is God, when we can watch him walk with us through the difficult struggles of our life, when we can watch his grace be enough for whatever we face, even if on its own what we face is overwhelming. He invites us to the opportunity to see his power be made perfect in our weakness. He invites us to come close so that he can transform us, that he can make us into the people that he created us, that he calls us to be. I don't know about you, but I haven't had a better invitation in my life than that. It's my prayer that we will not only make ourselves available for God to use us this year, but that we will hear his call to come on in, to know him better, to let him love us more, to really give him control over our lives, to let him be Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you are for us, that you know the plans you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. God, we do not understand that you would see us exactly as we are, and you would see our doubt and our fears and our selfishness and our sin, and you would desire to know us. We can't get our head around that. And yet that's the truth, God, that you loved us so much that you sent your son to take on flesh, to live our life, to die our death. And that when we believe in him, we are not only washed clean, but we are invited into this unbelievable relationship with you. God, we long to know more about you. We long to have you open the eyes of our heart, that we can understand a little better who you are, that we can trust you a little more, that we can invite you into the dark places in our life more and more and more. God, we long for this to be your year in our life. God, give us hearts that want to seek you. God, give us hearts that want to be available to you, for you to use us for your glory. God, open up doors of opportunity for us, big and small, that we might be messengers of the gospel this year, that we might be sharers of your love and your light. God, fill us with your spirit and give us the sensitivity of your spirit's nudge when you say to go, when you say to stop, when you say to speak, when you say to be quiet, when you say to love. God, we long to be led by your spirit. We long to be your people. We long to bring you glory. We long to let our roots grow deeper and deeper and deeper into you, because we love you so much, because you first loved us. Lord Jesus, have your way in us, through us, in spite of us. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.